Yasya Brahma Chakshatram Cha Ubhe Bhavata Odanaha Mrityuryasya Upasechanam Kaitta Veda Yatrasaha. How can one know thus as to where the self is, for which both the Brahmana and the Kshatriya become food, and for which death takes the place of a curry?
Shankaracharya's Tika. But how can one who is not of this kind know the self? The self, yasya, for which, ubhe, both, Brahma Kshatram cha, the Brahmana and the Kshatriya, though they are the upholders of all righteousness and the protectors of all, bhavataha, become, odanaha, food, yasya, for which self, mrityuhu, death, though it is the destroyer of all, becomes upasechanam, supplement to the food, like curry, being unfit even to be a food. Kaha, who, being a man with a worldly intellect and devoid of the disciplines described above, Veda, knows itha in this way, like a man endowed with the above-mentioned disciplines, yatra, as to where, saha, it, the self, exists. The self, the eater, destroyer of the universe, exists in its own glory. Who knows it as such?
Namaste. So this is the close of the second chapter, the second canto of this Upanishad, which has six cantos in two parts. So the first canto was about setting the scene, creating a context where this wonderful conversation between death and Nachiketa could take place. Nachiketa is not going to take anything other than the highest knowledge. He doesn't want any material benediction. So in the beginning of the second canto, death accepts Nachiketa as his student and begins to teach him about Brahman. Because really, what Nachiketa wants is to know death's secret. What is the difference between a living being and a dead one? Huh? Do beings still exist after death or not? You see, this type of question is really formed by the nature of our consciousness more than by the nature of the answer. We always want to know whether this exists or doesn't exist. This two-valued logic, this binary logic, this Aristotelian logic, it's called, that only has one and zero, yes and no, right and wrong, exists or doesn't exist as its truth values. Anything in between is not acceptable. Yet, the answer is neither yes nor no. It's neither exists or doesn't exist. Because what we know of as a human being is not real. This is the point, that a human being is a fabrication. It's an illusion. Any body, any form, any manifestation, any creation in the material universe is unreal because it's temporary. Anything that's fabricated, anything that's created at a certain date is also going to be unfabricated, uncreated at a later time. This is the law of the universe. We can't avoid it. So death is trying to give Nachiketa a different perspective on the self. And he's concluding here with, how can we know like this, you know, by thinking like this, about where the self is, because the self is not in the material universe. So when we think of ourselves as a body, as a human being, or even as a mind, this is not the right platform to understand the self, because the self is beyond all that. The self, he uses a crude example here, that the brahmanas and kshatriyas are like food to the self. And the footnote at the end of the tika says that death is the eater, the destroyer of the universe. Why? Because the self is actually real. The self is actually permanent. It is unborn and undying, changeless, supreme, absolute. So in comparison with it, everything else is going to be destroyed. Everything else's existence is only relative. In fact, the feeling or the perception in the material universe that a particular thing exists is only borrowed from the self. The self is the real existence, and that existence is reflected in objects like the body and so on. That's why they appear to have reality. But actually, if it wasn't for their relationship with the Supreme, with the self, they wouldn't exist at all, not even in a relative way. So this is what death is saying. How can we, by ordinary thinking, understand where is the self? Because he takes a humble position. He says, even death is just like a curry for the self. When we eat a nice Indian dish like a thali, like on the cover art for this video, the rice is the main dish. And then there's various sauces and dals and vegetables and curries. Curry is a tree. I have one in my backyard here. And the leaves are very fragrant and tasty. And they are also a digestive aid. So it's not really a food. It's more like a spice that enhances the food. So death is saying that his activity in removing or separating the living being from the body is not really an essential thing. It's going to happen anyway, just by the nature of this world, just by the nature of bodies, just by the nature of the living being, the conscious entity. Because the conscious entity is the self in every being. Just like the things and objects in this material world borrow their quality of existence from the self, in the same way, the sentient beings borrow their consciousness and reflect the consciousness of the self. The self has unlimited consciousness, absolute consciousness, objectless awareness, pure consciousness. But the living beings take that consciousness and cover it over with various upadis, the objects of consciousness. And out of that, consciousness evolves. In other words, when we look at the creation of the universe in the Vedas, it's described in many different places in the Vedas. The tanmatras, the objects of the senses, earth, water, fire, air, space, and the objects of the mind, thoughts, ego, intelligence, initiative, desire, and so on. These are created first. And the senses and the consciousness of the senses grows out of them. Try to understand. It is not that the consciousness that we have, or apparently have, in this material world is a fundamental thing in itself. But no, it's an outgrowth, a mixture of the living being encountering the various tanmatras. This is all made very clear in the process of paticca samuppada taught by the Buddha. So we're not going to go into that in detail here. But the point is that just like on the plains, the savanna in Africa, the lion is the supreme creature. Everything else, even the elephants, are prey for the lions. And nobody can compete with them. Nobody can equal them. Nobody can even come close. In the same way, the self is the supreme being of all beings. All other times of being are simply relative to the self. They are not absolute. They do not stand independently, even though they appear to be so. That's Maya. That's illusion. Huh? I was making the example in a previous video, the wall around my house, you know, it's made from bricks and then covered with plaster, and it looks very solid, right? But 100 years ago, this wall wasn't here. And 100 or 500 or 1,000 years from now, it'll be gone. Who knows what's going to replace it, but it's for sure not going to last that long. And then these bodies, we tend to assume these bodies last forever. Yeah, I'm going to be around forever. No, you're not. At least not as a body, not as a meat body, huh? This material bag of bones. This is coming and going. One's death is born along with one's birth. This is an aphorism in Vedic astrology. So simply by knowing the birth chart, the time and place of birth, one can deduce quite accurately how long the being is going to last. So this isn't rocket science, or well, maybe it is, I don't know. For a lot of people, it seems very esoteric and, you know, improbable that such a thing could be real. But let me tell you, it is real. And it's used by thousands and millions of people every day to plan their activities. The Panchangam is a South Indian form of astrology that charts the different moods of the sun and moon during the day and night and lists the different activities that are appropriate for those times. And this is how different ceremonies are scheduled in the temples and so on. So we can know the complex, manifold changes of time through Jyotish, through Vedic astrology. But it's very hard to know how the self is reflected in all these beings and objects. This is what death is trying to say here. That even though the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, highly trained in the various Vedic arts, are able to manage the human society and introduce concepts of righteousness. Well, at least they used to back when they were genuine. Now the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are mostly just for show. There's no more kings, really. And the leaders of society today have no real qualifications. They're basically businessmen. So what to speak of the kings, the Brahmanas, the priests, seem to be also just businessmen, just trying to make a buck on a nice temple or some kind of a process of sacrifice or self-realization or something, selling expensive seminars and stuff like that. That's not real Brahmana. Real Brahmana never charges money for knowledge because knowledge is priceless. Through knowledge, we can actually realize the self. Knowledge is not realization, huh? It's different from realization. It's preliminary. But without knowledge, we wouldn't even know that the self is there. The self is uninferable. In other words, even if you had knowledge of all the various phenomena in the material world, you would never deduce the existence of the self. Why? Because the self remains hidden in oneself. This is the secret of the self. It's entirely subjective. It's never objective. It is never seen or perceived or known by any process. It never becomes the object. It is always the subject, the seer, never the seen. So, given that this is so, how can the self be known except by revelation? This is why the Vedas and Upanishads all, with one voice, as Death says, announce that the self is the supreme object of meditation, the supreme object of knowledge. And once one has this knowledge of the self, there is no more need to gain any more knowledge, because this is the ultimate knowledge. And this is what we're going to continue to inquire and hear about in the following chapters of Katha Upanishad. Aum Tat Sat. Aum Shakti Aum. Aum Namah Shivaya.